Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Over the last couple of days, we've been posing this question. Do you believe in hell? It's a serious question. And in the last few weeks, debate has erupted all over the internet as a result of Rob Bell's newest book, Love Wins. The pastor who has been dubbed the most vibrant central religious leader of the millennials has opened the door to universalism, the idea that everyone will eventually end up in heaven. And before we go to our callers today, a couple of reflections on the rhetoric behind refutations of hell. And these refutations are all too common today. The gospel of a second chance after death, annihilationism, universalism. Common sense in our day has given way to credulity. Peter Kreft made that point eloquently. He said that behind the rhetoric is a dying but still dominant humanism, a faith in man despite Auschwitz, Hiroshima, the Gulag, and Jonestown. We're still shocked when we hear about such things. Previous generations were not. Why? Because they believed in evil. Common sense distinctions between good and evil have not only been blurred by the culture, they have virtually been obliterated, which is precisely why Eastern religions have become politically correct and popular in Western regions. In Eastern religions, the individual and his terrible burden of responsibility and freedom are removed. We think of ourselves as having progressed in our appreciation of the value of love, to wit, love wins. We think of love as the rival of justice and forget the necessity of justice. Justice without love is hardness of heart. But love without justice is nothing more than softness of head. Common sense dictates that without hell, there's no need for a savior. Little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there were no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there is no need for a sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. As much as we might wish that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility I love what C.S. Lewis once said. He said he would pay any price to be able to truthfully say all will be saved. But reason retorts, without their will or with it. If I say, without their will, I at once perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? And if, on the other hand, I say, with their will, my reason replies, how? If they will not give in. Ultimately, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell, or more correctly stated, all who will be in hell, choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. To those who knock, the door to heaven is opened. Again, we have a CD available, Answers for Today, Hell, and Our Loving God. It is available all this month for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I deeply appreciate you as a partner of this ministry. It's my way of saying thank you. It's also my way of equipping you in an epoch of time in which we have sort of opted for, well, a kinder, gentler religion, but not one that corresponds to Scripture. Preachers today prefer to dwell on more uplifting themes. Hell has all but disappeared, and no one seems to have noticed. We've noticed, and we're driving you back to a biblical worldview. Again, the CD is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. First up today, Becky. She's listening on Sirius 161 in Virginia. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So I was just wondering if you are familiar with the Presbyterian Church of America's belief that there are ones who are created for destruction. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure, but for as an example, Pharaoh back in the day of Moses would be considered one of those who were created for destruction. Not angelic, but human and created for destruction to deceive us. The only ones I'm aware of are demonic angels that God has cast out of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, this is the PCA position, because the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, which was an offshoot of the PCUSA, which became too liberal, and a lot of evangelicals moved out and formed the PCA denomination, a thoroughly Orthodox denomination, by the way, a denomination in which we find some incredible evangelicals who have made a transcendent difference in our time. So it is a denomination that I greatly cherish as having an impact on our generation in a very significant way. But the PCA position is Calvinistic, and the Calvinistic position is that Paul teaches us that the ruin of the wicked is not only foreseen by the Lord, but also ordained by his counsel and his will. Not only the destruction of the wicked is foreknown, but that the wicked themselves have been created for this very end, that they may perish. So in that view, people are created who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. This is one of the views within the pale of orthodoxy, but certainly not the only view. And it's one that we have spent a good deal debating in a great number of forums, including the Christian Research Journal, where you can find a debate between an evangelical Calvinist and a evangelical non-Calvinist. And I think what's great about the debate is it drives you back into the Word of God so that you can take the passages and the arguments and draw your own conclusion by testing them in light of the infallible repository for redemptive revelation.
Okay, so would you agree Pharaoh would be one of those, as an example, who was created for destruction?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I wouldn't put it exactly like that. Certainly, Pharaoh was prepared for destruction, but why? That's what he wanted. Every time God gave him a chance to repent, he hardened his heart. So there's a sense in which we can, on the basis of Scripture, say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart and mercy was the occasion for the hardening. But the text also clearly tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So this is not fatalistic determinism, or worse yet, theistic determinism. This is mercy becoming the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, because God continually withdrew the plague, and every time Pharaoh responds in disobedience, and then God withdraws the plague, and again Pharaoh responds in disobedience. So it is mercy that was the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for that, Hank, and I will look more into that that scripture.
Yeah, if you hang on, we can send you the article, because a whole lot more needs to be said. And the only thing I'll conclude with is that I like to leave the tension at least on the show, because I don't want to pontificate here. What I want people to do is get a good resource like the one I mentioned from the Christian Research Journal, so that they can really steep themselves in the arguments themselves. You can get this article on the internet at equip.org as well.
Okay, I will certainly check it out. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joshua. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, and WTRU. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, Hank.
How you doing? Whoops. Are you there?
Hello? Yeah, I thought you hung up. That's okay.
Oh, okay. We got a problem with the phone lines here. I did send you off to cyberspace so that we could get you the article, but somehow or other the call I just went to dropped off. So we'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to Jason. He's listening on Bot Radio in Illinois. Hi, Jason. Hello, Jason, are you there? We evidently are having some problems with the phone lines. Let me mention a couple of things before we go to break. First of all, the Christian Research Journal, which is an award-winning magazine. It's a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. The journal is on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right. I just mentioned it in terms of the Calvinist, non-Calvinist debate. It probes today's religious movements, promotes critical thinking, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. Features include in-depth articles, book reviews, practical evangelism tips, thought-provoking opinion pieces, and it is available for subscription on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also, as always, order via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRO. Also want to mention that the Alaska cruise is still available June 3rd through the 10th. It's about time, though, if you're considering making this trip with us, that you finally pull or trip the switch. You can do that by simply going to the World Wide Web at equip.org and clicking on the ship. Again, you can also find the numbers to call there on the World Wide Web, 877-768-2784, extension 101. And I want to mention one final thing before we go to break, and then after the break we'll go right back to your phone calls. And that is, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Also, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I need many of you to join me as partners. It's the only way we can continue on your station. It takes many people standing together to make a difference, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. As I say so often, the gospel is free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. Hopefully you'll be that person. Stand with me prayerfully and financially. Again, do that in a safe, secure way on the World Wide Web, equip.org.
Does everyone go to heaven? Are the souls of the unsaved simply annihilated? What do you believe about hell? The doctrine of hell is frightening and about the furthest thing possible from today's attitude of tolerance. But as Christians, we know that we can't choose to believe only the doctrines we like. You have to ask yourself, if there is no eternal torment, if the unsaved will either be annihilated or end up in heaven, why would we need a Savior? Hank Hanegraaff's CD, Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, gives clear biblical reasons why hell is in fact a reality, and also why it's necessary. When you support the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you the audio CD, Hell and Our Loving God, as our gift to you. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled, Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Deborah, listening on the web in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. I'm so glad I found your program a few weeks ago. You helped me recalibrate.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll give you my question and then the reason I'm asking it.
Sure.
My husband is of the mind that God forgives everyone. He considers himself a Christian, and his sin is, that I have in mind anyway, is that he had an affair with his ex-wife while he's married to me. And the situation is that they are conspiring to get back together. She is also married. They have three small children together. And they think this is God's plan, and they're very happy. But this is a secret. I'm not supposed to know about it, but I did get a heads up from a confidant of hers. Hmm. So I'm trying to reconcile this in my own mind, and I also wonder how you would address that, I think, very prevalent mindset of, oh, we're Christians. He forgives us.
Yeah. Deborah, the problem really is this, that a lot of people have a said faith rather than a real faith. In other words, they say they believe as opposed to really believing, because if you look at genuine Christian faith, it recognizes that we are sinners, but it also wants to turn from sin and live in accordance with God's will. I mean, that's what repentance is. It's a U-turn on the road of life. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the will. So when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you no longer live by the dictates of your own will. You turn and you follow Him. And and is it true that God forgives? Yes, God forgives. But it's also true that there are consequences to sin that follow inexorably, like night follows day. So to be cavalier about sin, and particularly this kind of egregious sin, which not only affects you, but a lot of the kids in the process. This is no small matter, and I think in some way we really don't grasp the holiness of God. We don't grasp the consequences of our own sin. And thus, we're all too cavalier about living under the guise of Christianity while we're still exercising our pagan proclivities.
Yeah. I know that I've learned, finally, I think I'm starting to learn that, oh my gosh, because I've been there, I think, in the center of God's will before, and oh my goodness, the peace and the joy that springs forth from that peace. When you're there, no matter what's going on around you, it's just like, gosh, this is it. This is what it's all about. You want to please Him when you're truly a believer, you know? And I've tried to explain that to him, and he's just completely stoic about it.
Well, I got to tell you, you give me goosebumps, because here you're going through what, by any standard, is a very traumatic situation, and yet you're talking about the peace that transcends all understanding. Yeah. And that's really the essence of the Christian life, Deborah. You're communicating it beautifully. The essence of the Christian life is not getting away from trouble, but it has its impact in demonstrating that we can have peace in the midst of our difficult circumstances. The circumstances are never going to go away. I mean, if it's not one set of circumstances, it's going to be another. But we can have peace in the midst of the storm. And ultimately, we look forward to a time in which there will be no more sin and no more unfaithfulness and no more betrayal, a time in which God puts all things to right.
Thank you for the reminder of that. Thank you for talking with me, and I hope a lot of people are listening who will benefit from this, and I look forward to reading your books and listening to you more since I've just discovered you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Deborah, and please know that you will be on my heart and mind, and I will certainly be praying for you. I say that, and I never say it lightly. I can't promise that I'll be praying for you a week from now, but I can promise you I'll be praying for you tonight.
I so appreciate that. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Dave. He's listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Dave.
Hi. First off, I wanted to say I just totally agree with what you had to say at the beginning of the program about the reality of hell. I don't think you could have said it any better. Mm-hmm. The reason I called is I recently watched The Passion of the Christ. I know everybody else has seen it a long time ago, but I just saw it a few days ago. And I have some questions about the authenticity of it. Now, I realize that there's a lot of dialogue that had to be made up because it simply isn't in the Bible. But when it comes to the amount of torture of Christ that they showed in the movie, I know there isn't that much talked about in the Bible. Does that come from other historical documents about the way the Romans treated people, or was it an exaggerated situation?
Well, it's been a while since I saw The Passion of the Christ, and no doubt there's literary license that's being used, you know, in the film, but we cannot underestimate what went on. Not only the medical condition known as hematidrosis that Christ suffered while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, but also what happened when he was brought battered, bruised, and bleeding into the Praetorium. And he was there stripped. He was subjected to the brutality of Roman flogging, which is no small thing. There's a whip. The whip has razor-sharp bones and lead balls, and they reduced the body of Christ to quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh. There's no underestimating what went on there. Not only that, but, you know, of course, he was then mocked, and a sharp crown of thorns was pressed into his scalp, and, of course, the scalp is very vascular, and so bleeding would immediately ensue, and then he was struck repeatedly on the head, according to the biblical text, and then a heavy wooden beam was thrust upon his body, and of course he was then led away to Golgotha. And so I don't think in any way we want to minimize that. I don't know that we can fully codify the horror of that. In fact, when you think about crucifixion in general, a word had to be codified to fully express the excruciating aspects of this kind of torment, or torture, we might even say, and that is the word excruciating, which literally means out of the cross. So here you have a word codified in order to fully communicate the horror of the cross, but there's more going on, because the greatest agony of all was that on the cross, Christ not only suffered physically, but metaphysically in bearing the sin and suffering of all humanity. And that's something that's incomprehensible to finite beings.
I was really put aghast by the movie, the amount of torture and the different means of torture. And you know, I've been a believer for a long time, and I've always believed that he was tortured. But the extent to which they showed in the movie just really made me think a lot more about just how much he went through for us.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, he suffered more than any human being. He suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, so that we might be redeemed to him. And it's, in many ways, it's inexpressible, because if you catch the picture correctly, you not only look at the torment of a human being, but you recognize that here is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, now laying prostrate before his creation in the pool of his own blood. That's an incomprehensible, unimaginable thought, that Christ would suffer in that way. And to my point at the beginning of the show, when we talk about hell, Christ did that to save us from the torment of hell.
Like I said, I totally agree with not just what you said and the existence of hell, but the logic behind your argument. It stands up against anything I think anybody could bring against it.
Well, hopefully it does. Unfortunately, there are literally hundreds of thousands who are falling for, you know, the Rob Bells of the world. And although I've highlighted him because he's the most popular guy out there who's now teaching this new religion, he's not the only one. For example, Clark Pinnock, he preceded Rob Bell, and he said this: "I consider the concept of hell an outrageous doctrine, a bad doctrine that needs to be changed. How can Christians possibly project a deity of such cruelty and vindictiveness, whose ways include inflicting everlasting torture upon his creatures? Surely a God who would do such a thing is more nearly like Satan than like God, at least by any ordinary moral standards and by the gospel itself. Surely the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is no fiend. Torturing people without end is not what our God does. Everlasting torment is intolerable from a moral point of view, because it makes God into a bloodthirsty monster who maintains an everlasting Auschwitz for victims whom he doesn't even allow the dignity to die." I remember Millard Erickson responding to that and saying, if someone's going to describe sending persons to endless punishment as cruelty and vindictiveness, and a God who would do so as more like Satan than God, a bloodthirsty monster who maintains an everlasting Auschwitz, he had better be very certain he is correct. For if he is wrong, he is guilty of blasphemy. A wiser course of action would be restraint in one's statements, just in case they might be wrong. And I would say that sentiment on the part of Erickson would apply to Rob Bell. The words that he uses for a God who says it is appointed unto a man once to die and after that the judgment, the words that he uses to vilify that kind of a God are quite extraordinary, and I would think caution would be in order, particularly when you are communicating those words to literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. Now, there's a great responsibility in being a leader and a teacher. Not many of you should be teachers, because with teaching there is a greater judgment, but I think that's a strict and a sober warning for everyone, not only Rob Bell, but myself included. And that's why I don't take this show lightly. When I do this broadcast, I put on the headphones, I do so with fear and reverence, because I know the holiness of God. We'll be right back.
Joseph Smith, the founder of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, claimed that an angel named Moroni visited him and told him the location of gold plates chronicling the ancient inhabitants of the Americas. It was from these alleged plates that Smith translated the Book of Mormon. In the eyes of many Latter-day Saints, the story of the gold plates legitimizes their belief that Smith was indeed a prophet sent by God to restore the true Christian faith lost long ago due to a great apostasy. Are the claims of Joseph Smith true? What are the problems with the golden plates? Find out when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return after this. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Do you worry that someone will ask you a question about your faith that you can't answer? Have you tried to defend your faith but gotten lost in confusing language and theology? Do you struggle with times of spiritual doubt yourself? On Guard by William Lane Craig is a one-stop how to defend your faith manual that will equip you to advance faith conversations deliberately, applying straightforward, cool-headed arguments. You'll discover not just what you believe, but why you believe, and how being on guard with the truth has the power to change lives forever. Learn to defend your faith with reason and precision. Order On Guard from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The subject of hell is not a topic we like to discuss. However, it was a doctrine that Jesus repeatedly taught during his earthly sojourn. More and more Christians are sliding into either universalism, the notion that everyone goes to heaven, or annihilationism, the idea that the souls of the unsaved simply cease to exist. In light of this shift away from Orthodox theology, Hank Hanegraaff's CD, Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, gives three lines of reasoning rooted in Scripture why hell is necessary, reasons you can use with Christians and non-Christians alike. We'll rush you a copy of Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God as our thank you when you support the Christian Research Institute with your gift of any amount this month. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Kevin, listening on XM 170 in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I have a question, and I want to be very careful how I state it out because I don't want to upset anybody, or, you know, I want to be respectful to everybody. But I have some neighbors. They just moved here from a different state. I knew them when they were in that state also. We were friends. We were the same religion. We went to a Pentecostal church. They moved here. And in that time, we moved before them. In that time, they converted over to, Jewish, what's that religion? Messianic Jews.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, they went over to Messianic Jews. Now, I know that some of that religion, I believe it's Christian, but what I believe, there's parts of it in some other small churches that don't make go to the bigger congregation, and they probably are teaching falsely. But what I'm having a trouble with is that I'm constantly being attacked, not me personally, because they don't have courage to come and talk to me, but they attack my wife daily. And the way they attack her, well, you should do this. I think you guys should switch over and you should hold a Sabbath. You should do this, you should do that. And it's getting to a point where I can't stand it anymore. And I want to approach them. I want to tell them about it. And what I told them is I believe they're stuck in works and in a cult from what it looks like. It's not a religion, what they're doing. Because on Saturday, they're not allowed to do anything. But on Sunday, they call us and, oh, don't you guys want to come over here? Don't you want to do that? And they know that we go to church all the time. We respect theirs, but they never respect our side of the equation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what you're communicating actually was dealt with in an article in the Christian Research Journal, which I'll get out to you. But Messianic Judaism has a wide spectrum, which is to say there are mainstream Messianic Jewish congregations, but there are also cultic Messianic Jewish congregations. So they, again, fall in a continuum. And the cultic ones, they are stressing all the wrong things. In other words, you have to go back to the types and shadows which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, including the Sabbath. So you have to go back to Sabbath worship and all the civil and ceremonial laws surrounding it in an Old Testament theocratic system. So again, this runs the spectrum, and it sounds like this particular couple or these former acquaintances of yours that are harassing your wife are in the cultic fringe of Messianic Judaism. But the article that we have in the Christian Research Journal, I think, would be extraordinarily helpful so that you can use their deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing the gospel. And I think that's really what needs to happen here. You need to recognize that God has placed you in a situation to make a difference. So don't look at it as harassment, but look at it as an opportunity to reach people who have fallen into a trap.
Yes, that's exactly how I look at it. And I explained, and this week, actually, I made I said I couldn't take it anymore. Because I wanted to respect them, and in the beginning, I wanted to say exactly what it was about. And now that I understand, because the minute they come to me and they say, well, you can't eat meat, you can't eat pork, I mean, they also have all different kind of, they're American, pure American. Now they have those little hats, and they have the thing hanging from their pants, on the side of the pants like the Jewish people have. And they're trying to act like they were born Jewish, and now they're looking back in the ancestry, and they're trying to say that somewhere farther along, 20 generations down, they were Jewish. Somehow.
Yeah, they've fallen off the deep end for sure. And of course, as we know, in Christ, it's not a matter of ethnicity. It's not a matter of genealogy or tracing your genealogy, because it really doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female. In the Old Testament sense, someone who is a servant or someone who is free. No, rather, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise because we are in Jesus Christ. So it's never a matter of race. It's always a matter of relationship. Hang on, we can send you the article. Just hang on, we'll put it in your hands. Let's go right back to the phone lines and talk to Grant, listening on Sirius 161, Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I got a question, but just a real quick comment on Harold Camping. I saw one of his billboards about a month and a half, 2 months ago. It said the coming was on in May and so on and so forth. And I thought to myself, well, that's ridiculous. The scripture plainly states that only the Father knows. And if it was true, that I really need to get my act together. And I was a little stunned that I heard myself say that audibly. So I've been back in the scripture and trying to walk a righteous path. And it's when I found you on the radio. So my question was, during my Bible studies a few years ago, I came on this 40-day thing. And I don't know why it stood out to me, but I just couldn't get over what was so significant about 40 days. 40 days on the ark. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. Or is it the number 40 because Moses wandered in the desert for 40 years? But, I mean, is there something special about the 40 or 40 days?
Well, I think particularly right now there's something very special about the 40 days because we're in the midst of Lent. And of course, Ash Wednesday began a 40-day period of time during which we remember our sinfulness, during which we repent of our sinfulness, we recognize afresh God's forgiveness. So this 40 days is a period that does correspond to some 40-day periods or 40-year periods that we find in the biblical texts. The 40 years of wilderness wanderings, which didn't end until the Jews repented, the 40 days for the Ninevites to repent. Of course, the 40 days, we remember, during which Jesus Christ was in the desert. So there are certainly numbers in the Bible that have heightened significance. We have to be careful, though. You brought up Harold Camping. He's into numerology, and that is reading sort of esoteric meanings into numbers as opposed to reading the text for all it's worth. So we can say there are numbers that have heightened significance, but it is not because we went on a fanatical journey that is a journey that is based on our own fanaticism, but rather because the numbers are given significance by interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. So we didn't go off onto some kind of fanciful journey. And right now, it's kind of interesting, in light of your question, that there are only 44 days that remain for camping, and he will be once again demonstrated to be a false prophet. And as I've mentioned on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, despite all his advertising and his billboards and the people that are putting up billboards because they're falling in line with his teaching, despite all of that, he will once again be demonstrated to be a false prophet. And for those who have short memories, you may not remember that he has already done this before. So he's let enough time pass that most people have forgotten. But September 6th was a day, I think it was 1994, in which he said, "The end has come. No one else can be saved." Well, that came and went. He waited for a while, and now he's at it again. I certainly can't judge his motives, but I'll tell you what, they're certainly suspect. He's at this every now and again, and I'm sure it's a very profitable enterprise to be sensationalistic, but remember, there are real significant things that happen to flesh and blood people as a result of false teachings such as this. We'll go back to the phone lines now, talk to Russell, listening on XM 170 in Iowa. Hi, Russell.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, my question is kind of a two-part question, but once I'm saved, once I've accepted Jesus Christ, there's no turning back. It's not like anybody can take that away from me. So why does the devil continually try to get me or tempt me or convince me to do things wrong when he can't have me back?
Well, he can't have you back, but he can certainly blot your testimony. He can certainly marginalize you in a great way. So, first of all, you cannot assume that the matter is settled for the devil. The matter isn't even settled in the minds of a lot of Christians. But secondly, remember that the devil can mar and marginalize your testimony for Christ. So the devil simply can have a tremendous impact in the lives of Christians whose testimony is compromised as a result of falling for either the world, the flesh, or the devil.
Okay, but he can't take away my salvation, but he can hinder he can hinder Jesus using me to help somebody else to salvation.
That's a good way of putting it. That's precisely what my point is. He can marginalize your testimony, and as a result of that, he can keep others from being saved. But does the devil know that we are eternally secure? He can't read our hearts. He can do significant damage to the body of Christ, and he can certainly, as mentioned, do damage to your walk, and as a result, retard the faith of others, whatever state that faith may be in.
Okay, but he can't do anything against my salvation. The most he could do is, because my salvation is guaranteed to me, but the extra things that I do in serving the Lord, I hate to use the word extra gifts, but the extra gifts that I could work towards once I reach heaven, he could do damage to combat to me personally. Is that?
Yeah, and remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, so we're not worried about Satan's power to pillage as much as we are committed to Christ's power to protect. Much more could be said about that. I wrote about that in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour once we go off the air. I've not done that for a long time, but so many of you hanging in. So many people wanting to call in during the next hour. I'm just going to stick here right in this seat for another hour. Continue taking your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, be patient. If you're wanting to ask a question, here's the number to dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. During the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
You've been listening to The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear more of The Bible Answer Man or to listen to archived broadcasts, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. If you've ever wondered how a loving God could condemn anyone to hell forever, ask yourself this question. If there is no hell, if the unsaved will either be annihilated or end up in heaven, why would we need a Savior? Why would God send His Son to suffer and die, bearing all our sins on His shoulders, if the worst future that could await us was a peaceful oblivion? Those who deny the everlasting torment of God's righteous wrath against unrepentant sinners in hell out of a desire to be fair and compassionate have actually cheapened God's love and undermined the greatest sacrifice ever made. Order Answers for Today, Hell and Our Loving God, a message by Hank Hanegraaff. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.